5. Nodal points. Clinton Emery Hillman, 25. Hairdresser, sushi chef, music journalist, porno extra, reliable purveyor of proscribed fetal tissue cultures to three of the more endomorphic members of the decidedly mesh-backed Dukes of Nukem, whose Gulf War baby was 18 with a bullet on the Billboard chart, in heavy rotation on I Heart America, and had already been the subject of diplomatic protests from several Islamic states. Kathy Torrance looked as though she might be prepared to be pleased.
And the fetal tissue, Lainey?
Well, Lainey said, putting the phones down beside the computer, I think that might be the good part.
Why?
It has to be Iraqi. They make a point of insisting on that. They won't shoot up any of the kind.
You're hired.
I am.
You must have correlated the calls to Ventura with the parking charges from the garage in the Beverly Center, although that running gag about Gulf War babies would have been hard to miss.
Wait a minute, Lainey said. You knew.
It's the top segment on Wednesday's show.
She closed the computer without bothering to turn off Clint Hillman's detweaked chin.
But now I've had a chance to watch you work, Lainey. You're a natural. I could almost believe there might actually be something to that nodal point bullshit. Some of your moves made no logical sense whatever, but I've just watched you hone in cold on something it took three experienced researchers a month to excavate. You did it in just under half an hour.
Some of that was illegal, Lainey said. You're tied into parts of Dat America that you aren't supposed to be.
Do you know what a non-disclosure agreement is, Lainey?
Yamazaki looked up from his notebook.
Very good, he said, probably to Blackwell. This is very good.
Blackwell shifted his weight, the chair's polycarbon frame creaking faintly in protest.
But he didn't last there, did he?
A little over 6 months, Lainey said. 6 months could be a very long time at Slit Scan. He used most of his first month's salary to lease a micro-bachelor in a retrofitted parking structure on Broadway Avenue, Santa Monica. He bought shirts he thought were more like the ones people wore at Slit Scan and kept his Malaysian button-downs to sleep in. He bought an expensive pair of sunglasses and made sure he never displayed as much as a single felt pen in his shirt pocket. Life at Slit Scan had a certain focused quality. Lainey's colleagues limited themselves to a particular bandwidth of emotion. A certain kind of humor, as Kathy had said, was highly valued, but there was remarkably little laughter. The expected response was eye contact, a nod, the edge of a smile. Lives were destroyed here, and sometimes recreated, careers crushed, or made anew in guises surreal and unexpected. Because Slit Scan's business was the ritual letting of blood, and the blood it let was an alchemical fluid, celebrity in its rawest, purest form. Lainey's ability to locate key data in apparently random wastes of incidental information earned him the envy and grudging admiration of more experienced researchers. He became Kathy's favorite, and was almost pleased when he discovered that a rumor had spread that they were having an affair. They weren't, except for that one time at her place in Sherman Oaks, and that hadn't been a good idea. Nothing either of them wanted to repeat. But Lainey was still narrowing down, getting focused, pushing the envelope of whatever it was that manifested as this talent, his touch. And Kathy liked that. With his iPhones on and Slit Scan's dedicated landline feeding him the bleak reaches of Dat America, he felt increasingly at home. He went where Kathy suggested he go. He found the nodal points. Sometimes, falling asleep in Santa Monica, he wondered vaguely if there might be a larger system, a field of greater perspective. Perhaps the whole of Dat America possessed its own nodal points, info faults that might be followed down to some other kind of truth, another mode of knowing, deep within gray shoals of information. But only if there were someone there to pose the right question. He had no idea at all what that question might be, if indeed there were one. But he somehow doubted it would ever be posed from an SBU at Slit Scan. Slit Scan was descended from reality programming and the network tabloids of the late 20th century, but it resembled them no more than some large, swift, bipedal carnivore resembled its sluggish, shallow-dwelling ancestors. Slit Scan was the mature form, supporting fully global franchises. SlitScan's revenues had paid for entire satellites and built the building he worked in Burbank. SlitScan was a show so popular that it had evolved into something akin to the old idea of a network. It was flanked and buffered by spin-offs and peripherals, each designed to shunt the viewer back to the crucial core, the familiar and reliably bloody altar that one of Laney's Mexican co-workers called Smoking Mirror. It was impossible to work at SlitScan without a sense of participating in history, or else in what Kathy Torrance would argue had replaced history. SlitScan itself, Laney suspected, might be one of those larger nodal points he sometimes found himself trying to imagine, an informational peculiarity opening into some unthinkably deeper structure. In his quest for lesser nodal points, the sort that Kathy sent him into Datamerica to locate, Laney had already affected the courses of municipal elections, the market in patent gene futures, abortion laws in the state of New Jersey, and the spin on an ecstatic pro-euthanasia movement, or suicide cult, depending, called Cease Upon the Midnight, not to mention the lives and careers of several dozen celebrities of various kinds. Not always for the worst, either, in terms of what the show's subjects might have wished for themselves. Kathy's segment on the Dukes of Newcomb, exposing the band's exclusive predilection for Iraqi fetal tissue, had sent their subsequent release instant platinum, and had resulted in show trials and public hangings in Baghdad, but he supposed life was hard there to begin with. Laney had never been a SlitScan viewer himself, and he suspected that this had counted in his favor when he'd applied as a researcher. He had no strong opinion of the show either way. He accepted it, to the extent that he'd thought of it at all, as a fact of life. SlitScan was how a certain kind of news was done. SlitScan was where he worked. SlitScan allowed him to do the one thing he possessed a genuine talent for, so he'd managed to avoid thinking in terms of cause and effect. Even now, attempting to explain himself to the attentive Mr. Yamazaki, he found it difficult to feel any clear linkage of responsibility. The rich and the famous, Kathy had once said, were seldom that way by accident. It was possible to be one or the other, but very seldom, accidentally, to be both. Celebrities who were neither were something else again, and Kathy viewed these as crosses she must bear. A mass murderer, for instance, or his most recent victim's parents. No star quality, though she always held out hope for the murderers, feeling that at least the potential was there. It was the other kind that Kathy wanted, directing the attentions of Laney and as many as 30 other researchers to the more private aspects of the lives of those who were deliberately and at least moderately famous. Alison Shires wasn't famous at all, but the man Laney had confirmed she was having an affair with was famous enough. And then something began to come clear to Laney. Alison Shires knew, somehow, that he was there, watching, as though she felt him gazing down into the pool of data that reflected her life, its surface made of all the bits that were the daily record of her life as it registered on the digital fabric of the world. Laney watched a nodal point begin to form over the reflection of Alison Shires. She was going to kill herself.